Cincinnati.
Welcome to episode 245 of Cincinnati, the Bengals UK podcast. My name is Paul Hirons, and tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm flying solo. My usual partner in crime, the apple to my pie, the Ferrero to my Rocher, Nathan Palmer, is away again. And it is International Women's Day, and as regular listeners will know, Bengals UK is an inclusive and diverse group, so whatever gender you are or identify as, you are more than welcome in this group, and we take pride in trying to unite and consolidate and grow this fan base in the UK. And one of the ways we like to do that is encourage more women to come on board and be a Bengals fan, because it's really fun. We know lots of women in the Bengals fan base, some of which have been on our trips to Cincinnati, some of which are in our leadership group, some of which I'm in contact with every day. So it's important to us that we have so many women in our fan base over here. And we want more of them. So if you know of friends, of family, daughters, girlfriends who are looking for a team to support, do give them a nudge in our direction. And as I mentioned, we do like to celebrate International Women's Day on Cincinnati. Every year we have we're kind of very lucky, because we have plenty of fantastic female journalists that cover the Bengals, our friends Lindsay Patterson and Elise Jesse, and we also have Kelsey Conway, who does a fantastic job for the Inquirer. We also have Laurel Pfeiffer, who works at the Dayton newspaper, I believe, and she's in the media room at Paycor as well. So we're very lucky, but we're also lucky, and actually it's really cool, I think, that we have quite a few women in senior management positions at the Bengals, you know, and I'm obviously thinking right at the top, you know. We've got Katie Blackburn. We've got her daughters, Elizabeth and Caroline, who do such a fantastic job. We've got Emily Parker, again, who we've had on the podcast for International Women's Day, head of communications, who does an extraordinary job. And all of these women are just so inspirational and really forge a path, really, for other women to follow. So we always like to celebrate the women of the Bengals, and also the women in our fan base as well. And in the past, we've had, let me think, Colleen Wolfe. We've had Sarah Sherman, Zach Taylor's wife. So we've had some really fantastic guests, and I'm pleased to say we've got a fantastic guest in this episode as well, and she's coming up in just a moment. I must mention that it is a crucial time. International Women's Day notwithstanding, it is a really busy and crucial time in the NFL season, so every man, woman, and their dog, cat, whatever, is doing this at the moment, and I'm going to do the same. I'm going to talk about free agency as well, go through some of the players that I would like to see the Bengals sign, because it is all kicking off from Monday, 11th of March. That's when legal tampering, the most sinister and weird phrase to describe something in the world, begins, and I believe the new league year starts on Wednesday the 13th. So it's all going to happen. It is all going to happen next week. But first, let's take some time to reflect on International Women's Day and our special guest. Let's bring her in. Okay, and as promised, we always try and get a really fantastic guest for International Women's Day, and I think we've got another one for this year, International Women's Day 2024. You will know her on Twitter at Adis Lady, but I'm just going to call her Lady for now, but you will also know her as T. Higgins' mom. So, Lady, welcome to Cincinnati. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I'm excited about this because we all follow you on Twitter. You're fantastic on Twitter. You do not mince your words on Twitter, and you have fun, and I think you have this very infectious personality. So I'm excited to talk to you. And I wanted to ask you first, I guess, it's the question that everybody's been asking, what's T's future? I know you don't want to go into it too much, but it looks as though T's going to be staying here for another year. When I say here, in Cincinnati, obviously. Right. And you must be delighted about that, the idea of that, right?
I am. Actually, I am. Mm. I just want him to be happy wherever he happens to go. If he stays in Cincy, that's fine. The fan base is awesome. I love the people there. They love my son, so...
Yeah, it's all good, isn't it? There seems to be a real mutual respect and love there, right? And you feel it because you feel it yourself. Because we'll get onto this in a minute. But you're there pretty much every home game, right? But I think it's important to state that you said a really lovely thing there. As a mother, you just want your son to be happy, and you know he's had a fantastic time in Cincinnati, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. I'm very proud of him.
Hmm. So let's talk about you though, because well, first of all, I need to ask you. You've been through anybody that's followed you or followed T's story. You have had a pretty tough couple of years, I have to say. How is life? How are you doing, first and foremost, Lady?
I am great. God has blessed me. I'm happy in my life. I'm happy.
That's good. That's really good. As I say, you've been through a tough time, and I think a lot of Bengals fans reached out to you when things were happening. So it's great to. And you told me that you go to choir practice, and you kind of live down there in Tennessee, and it's all good, right? You lead a pretty normal but active life down there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just Lady here at home, you know. Nothing big. I'm just Lady. I go about my business, and they go about theirs, you know. If they know me, they'll speak. Mm. We have conversations. I mean, it's just the same. There's nothing different.
And I'm interested. When you go to choir practice, what do you sing there? Is it a church thing, or is it a contemporary choir? What do you sing?
It's our gospel choir for our church.
Mm.
It's a church choir.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Right, let's talk about your relationship with the Bengals and the Bengals fans, because I think it's really interesting. You met some of our guys last year when they were in Cincinnati, when we were in Cincinnati. Unfortunately, I missed you, but you're there pretty much every tailgate, giving it some and really mucking in. So tell us about take us through a normal Sunday for T. Higgins' mom at a tailgate. What goes on there?
Well, I give my son a kiss and tell him, you know, go play hard, have fun. And we're getting dressed, we're ready. And we all just sit down, talk, and then we're up and we're on to the going down to the stadium.
Mm.
And once we go to the stadium, we stop at the we park in parking lot E. And is it E or D?
You go to Bengal gyms tailgate, the big one, don't you? That's what you
yeah.
go to.
But before I go there, I stop at the Bengal Twins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I stop there. I have to make my first stop there. It's become my tradition. Stop there, talk to them, and have a what do they call it? Small beer. Have us a small beer, and then I mosey on down to Bengal Jim's and hang out there with them. He's awesome.
Yeah, no, he puts on a fantastic event, doesn't he? Every single week of that home game of that season, that's incredible. And shout out to all the other tailgates as well. But that's obviously the biggest one there. Do you kind of shake your tail feather around at these tailgates? Do you muck in? Do you DJ? Do you because your late husband did, didn't he? He really,
Yes, he was a
yeah.
DJ. I don't DJ. I just shake my tail feather.
Good for you. I mean, we tried last year, but I don't think we could do it as well as you, to be honest with you. So when you go down to the tailgates, do people recognize you? Do people know who you are? Or and if they do, what's the interaction like with the fans there?
Yeah, some people know who I am. They're like, "That's Mama T, that's Mama T." And I'll wave and say, "Hey, you know," and or they ask if they can take a picture. I'm like, "You want a picture with me?" And so I'll take a picture, you know, and just hang around and talk. I'm just a normal, I'm a normal person. T's a normal person.
Yeah, and he comes across, and that's a credit to you and your husband, actually. I think that T just comes across as a really normal person. I think he's brought up fantastically well.
He's not big with let's see. He's not a big public speaker, but through the years, he's gotten so much better at getting in interviewed or whatever. And it's just funny because I know him. And I know his looks when it's just funny to watch. Because he hates being interviewed.
So when you watch T's interviews on TV or in or live or whenever, do you chuckle to yourself because you know him so well? Because I think he's a really funny guy, and seeing him kind of in an interview, does it make you laugh, some of the things that he says?
He is such a funny guy. He took his sense of humor from his dad. He is so funny. But to watch him, I get goosebumps when I watch him because it's like, that's my son speaking on TV. Like, wow. And it's surreal, you know? My baby. I mean, I always wanted big things for my kids, but I never knew that he would be who he is today.
And you get like people 5,000 miles away in the UK asking you questions about him. How strange and surreal is that? That's kind of weird.
I know, and I love it. I love it. And I really thank you guys for all the support
No, anytime
for the
we love tea.
Bengals.
And exactly precisely because of the guy that he is. He's really humble, he's really funny. He's terrific. So we're super glad that he's sticking around for another day. I wanted to ask you, Mama T, when did you know that he could be something special athletically? Was there a moment or a time when you thought, God, goodness me, my son could have a chance of making it here?
Well, yes, it was actually he was around 5 years old when he first started playing football and getting into the boys' club. He was very talented. You could just see how gifted he was out there. It came natural. So I watched him excel in basketball as well as football. And I really wanted him to play basketball. But God had something different. So he's with football now. So, yeah.
So he was always a gifted athlete, and obviously, and then suddenly, fast forward, it gets to draft night. What did you take us through that again? That must have been a surreal experience because your boy is on the cusp of, being a professional athlete. He's had a really good college career. What was the experience like for you on draft night?
I was nervous. I was nervous. I'm about to cry talking about it.
Oh.
But it was, man.
It must have been all everyone's dreams come true, right?
Yes, it was such a blessing to watch the smile on his face and just to see my family happy for him and his close friends. Everybody was just there, cheering him on. And it was during COVID, so that
Yeah,
was
of
hard
course.
time.
Yeah, that must have been weird, full stop.
Yeah, so it, oh my gosh, that moment was, it was unreal. That's one of the best moments of my life.
You're never going to forget that moment, are you? I can just tell. Obviously, I can see you, and you're emotional talking about it. Incredible. And then he goes to the Bengals, which I understand he kind of had a, he wore he had an affiliation with the Bengals. He wasn't a supporter of the Bengals, was he? But he was a fan of Chad and the
And
Bengals receivers growing up. Was that right?
yes, Chad and AJ. Yeah, he I can remember, I think it was in 2016, he had tweeted that one day he wanted to meet his idol, which was AJ. And fast forward and look what God did. Not only did he meet his idol, he got to play with them.
Yeah, that's insane, isn't it? That's so
Yeah,
insane.
so God,
And
yeah.
you must have met AJ as well, right?
Yeah, I didn't know him, but I met him. I actually just met him. They had the Bengals had a game, and he was there. I can't remember what game he was there, and I actually met him and took a picture with him. That was the first time I ever met him.
Wow.
I've never met Joe, Jamar. I never met any of them. Just their parents.
Yeah. And that's really cool as well, because the parents seem to get on really well. You're all in that together. You've got this shared experience. Your kids, even though they're grown men, doing spectacular things on a football field, and yet they're still your boys. You know what I mean? You must look at
Yeah,
them
that's our babies. I still consider T my baby.
That's the biggest baby I've ever seen, Mama T, I have to say. Right, I want to ask you about his time at the Bengals and your time, because as I say, it's not just T's time at the Bengals, but you are there with him, either a couple of steps behind or side by side. He often makes references about you in his interviews. He kind of said, I've got to consult the boss when it comes to contract things and all that kind of stuff. But what have these last 4 years been? Because they've been incredible, haven't they? You've been to a Super Bowl. You've been, what an incredible experience for you and the whole family, right?
Yes. It's been awesome. It's been an awesome ride.
Yeah,
An
yeah.
awesome ride. Going to different cities. When I do go, like if I was to go to an away game, just seeing the different stadiums and watching him on. Now, when we're at home and we're watching on TV, oh my gosh, we are so loud. We are so loud, Dutch. Everybody is happy, and mostly everybody back at home. We love to watch the game, but sometimes we can't even pick the game up. You got to buy the package or whatever they have now, NFL package or Sunday. I don't know what it's called. I have it, so yeah. But it's been a ride.
And what's been your
I
favorite
went.
moment? Was it the Super Bowl or some sort of little thing that happened at Paycor Stadium or something else? Can you pinpoint one favorite moment in this whole kind of four years or so that he's been there?
When he brought me the football, when they played in Kansas, and he ran the
What, for the
football
AFC
down the street.
Championship game?
Yeah. And he brought me the ball when he scored.
Whoa. Well, I bet you've got that pride of place somewhere, haven't you? Now, don't
Yeah.
start crying on me again, okay? Don't start crying.
Okay, I won't.
I can see it coming. I wouldn't blame you. What an amazing moment. That's crazy. And of course he scored two touchdowns in the Super Bowl as well. That
Yes.
isn't
Now
bad
that's the
either,
next
really.
one. That's the next one. That was my favorite, but when he ran down to me and placed that football in my hand, that just took over everything.
Must have been incredible to see that.
Yeah, I used to watch it on TV growing up, watching football. And now I have a son playing in the NFL.
In the Super Bowl. I mean, that must be the weirdest, most amazing, but surreal thing in the world, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he scored twice.
I know. That's the thing. You can never take that away from him or you. You know what? You can always drop that into a conversation wherever you can. Right. I'm gonna try and. You've been very generous with your time, Mama T. So I'm gonna wrap this up. I would like to ask you, can you tell us something about T that we hadn't don't previously know about, or are you in a position to? To tell us something about tea.
Let me think of something.
Oh, actually, while you think about that, you're chuckling. I want to ask you about what it's like to be a mother of a professional sports person. It must be, or at least growing up with a child, when they become a, or at least they show potential. To become a professional sportsman, there's a lot of stuff going on there, isn't there? There's a lot of, because that
Yes.
kind of takes over a little bit, right?
Yes, it's it was something. It was something, I tell you. Getting him back and forth to practice, I can remember him going, he was in middle school, and I prayed and I said, God, just let me get a car where I could get him back and forth to practice. When he played middle school and be able to go to his games. So God blessed me with a car. And that car lasted 4 years until he got to the high school. And Lord, I prayed again, Lord, I need a car because this is not going to make it. I got to take him to school, pick him up. And he blessed me with another car. Now here comes time for college. I'm praying. And he blesses me with an SUV.
Whoa, okay.
And it lasted up, that car lasted up until my son got drafted.
Wow. So basically every sort of significant stage of his life and career, there was a new car involved after you prayed. So
Yeah,
when
it
was the
was.
next?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, when was the next car after the college, when he joined the Bengals, or did you still have that SUV?
I didn't have to give him no car then. I had a car.
Yeah. No, he's
He
okay for
bought me
cars
a
now.
car.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he bought me a car. And I love it. I
Yeah.
love it.
Well, I would imagine he'd be able to afford quite a few cars right now,
Yeah.
but
He's a
okay.
car. Go ahead. Go ahead.
He knows he does he like his
He
cars, does
loved
he?
cars. He loved cars. His daddy was a big car person.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
As I say, he'll be able to afford some nice cars now, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go back to that question. Tell us something about T that not many people know that you feel you can tell us without. Well, you've just told us something about his love of cars, right?
Yeah. He's real silly. I had lost what I was going to tell you. When he gets mad, he still pouts like he does when he was a little boy. When he gets mad at me, I can see it coming, and he does it to me still to this day. I can't remember what it was, but it was hilarious. Oh, when he was a kid, my daughter played basketball, and we went to Florida for the AAU. And my sisters took he and their kids to Disney World, Disneyland. And they said T, when he saw the three bears, no, it wasn't the three bears. It was Scooby-Doo. When he saw Scooby-Doo, he took off running and he ran and ran and ran. He ran into it like a tree house and he ran into the three bears. Tree house. So he ran back out and he ran to my sister and jumped up in her arms. He was a growing up, he was scary. He was scary.
Wow,
And he didn't like to fight. He didn't. He was just different. Yeah,
wow.
versus me and his sister, he's nothing like us.
Well, that is a good thing. So basically, we can deduce from that he loves cars, he's scared of Scooby-Doo, and he's scared of the three bears. That's something we can take from this interview, Mama T. Listen, I just want to say I salute you and your strength for everything that you've been through. And I'm grateful to talk to you. And you're an amazing woman. And I wish I could have met you last year, maybe this year when I'm in town again.
Maybe I'll be there.
But yeah, I want to
Thank
thank
you.
you for your time and thank you for joining us. And the best of luck. Have the best time this year as well.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
There you go. That was Lady or Mama T, as many people know her. And I can tell you that she's just as extraordinary and remarkable and lovely as you would imagine her to be. If you've seen her on Twitter, and if you haven't, I would recommend you following along because she doesn't muck about. Oh, no. New, new. She really doesn't suffer fools gladly, and she's really good fun. So I would recommend following Mama T at Ada's Lady. Go and follow her; she's fantastic. And again, she's had a rough time of things, certainly in the last couple of years. And you can read all about her life when T was young. Extraordinary strength to come through all that, strength of character, and she's just a beautiful human being. So it was great to talk to her, and we wish her, and of course, we wish T as well, because those two really are in lockstep together. She's there every home game, she's down there at the tower gates. I know that some of our guys managed to meet her the last time I went to Cincinnati, so hopefully that'll be the case again this year. T, one of our favourite players, obviously, one of many people's favourite players, really. Who can? And she's got the same smile, that megawatt, lovely smile that her son has. So, big up, Mama T. Thank you so much, and inspiration to a lot of people. And it was really cool to talk to her. Right, as I mentioned, it is free agency coming up. Today is Friday the 8th of March, and we are only a couple of days away from the start of legal tampering. And the big question is not only who the Bengals are going to sign, because they've got some money to play with, it's what approach are they going to take? Is it going to be like a couple of years ago when more or less within what felt like minutes of the starting gun being fired to signal the start of free agency, the Bengals went out uncharacteristically, I have to say, and signed Ted Karras and Alex Kappa. So they had obviously done their homework. They had obviously prepared some offers. They were ready to go on those deals straight away. And I wonder if that will be repeated this year, or whether, there'll be a few tumbleweeds for the first couple of days and then things will kick into action. Because once upon a time, if you remember, it was pretty much tumbleweeds all the way through the process. The Bengals just did not engage with free agency. Whereas And now, you know, we are players. You know, we've signed some big players. I mean, literally and figuratively, Orlando Brown was a big player. 9'8", apparently. No, I'm joking. Well, he's not far off. He's about 6'8", isn't he? But also that caused a bit of a splash and made a few headlines. Now, will they do something like that this time? I'm not so sure. But I am going to give you some players that I think that merit a closer look. Now, a motley crew, including Joe Goodberry, James Rapine and Jake Liskow and Bengal Sands, have compiled a fantastic list of free agents. And you can go on to Joe Goodberry's Twitter and see, find a link to go to this document. It's a Google Doc, and they've rated all the free agents all the way down. And yeah, it's really fascinating. They also have referenced PFF's projected average price per year, what they might go for, and I find it really fascinating. Now, I'm going to start a right tackle because I don't think Jonah is going to come back, so that will need to be filled. I would, bearing in mind their record at drafting offensive linemen hasn't been great. You know, they've been dipping into free agency to fill it out. I think they will go for a an established right tackle. Now, you might have read and you might have seen that the Bengals seem, certainly in the Zach Taylor era, seem to have a type, a profile that they like to stick to in terms of recruitment and free agents. They like to pick up players who shown promise but haven't earned a second contract. So they're around 24 years old. They don't like to pay, you know, break the bank for guys. There's some value there. Keep hearing that word value. But, you know, you're looking at people like Cheeto, for instance, who came from Dallas, showed lots of good stuff, but had a few injuries, was affordable, and he turned out to be a terrific player. You're looking at Trey Hendrickson and look at what he's done. You're looking at Mike Hilton, who's been fantastic as well. Their recruitment in free agency recently has been really, really good. Obviously, there's been a few misses. Irv Smith, Trey Waynes, to name but two. But, you know, their hit rate has been pretty remarkable. So I wonder if they'll get something again. So they do have a type. But I, for right tackle, a lot of people have been talking about McKee Becton from the Jets. He seems to, again, fits the profile, that the type of physical trait. And, of course, he played under Frank Pollack. So there are connections there. But I personally would not go down that route. I would be extremely worried about his injury record. And is he actually that good? Jonah's going, and he was an average to an above-average player. So you want at least that level from him. And also, if you're going to draft an offensive lineman, which I think they will, you might not want to throw him into the mix straight away. They do have a profile in terms of age and contract progression, if you want to call it that. I would like to see them go for someone a bit more experienced, someone who they would feel confident in dropping in and plugging in and playing straight away. And for me, that person is Trent Brown from the Patriots, who is 31, I believe. But offensive line's a little bit different, I think. I think, you know, you see a lot of older players there, more experienced, who are grizzled and they know what they're doing. They know what it takes when he's a good lineman in the NFL. And I think Trent Brown, he's played with Ted Karras before. He's won a ring. He knows what he's doing. He's coming towards the end of his career. He can mentor any new guy that comes in. I think he's the boy for me. I'm going for Trent Brown. I'd like to see them take a look at Trent Brown. Now, running back. Let's assume, we should be finding out actually what goes on with Joe Mixon pretty soon. We're going to find out what's going to happen to Joe Mixon. Let's presume that the Bengals will cut him and let him go. It would be emotional for you guys out there to see him go. He's been very productive. But there's no point in letting them go, I don't think, unless you get someone in who is at least on that level. I expect them to draft a running back at some stage. But again, there's some players out there that they look good. You're looking at Zach Moss from Indianapolis, who might be a much more affordable option, about $3.8 million, perhaps, says PFF. Do you want a bigger back? Because AJ Dillon's there. He's not going to give you explosiveness, but he is a big old boy. But perhaps you might want to go for someone like an Antonio Gibson, who I've always rated. I think he's a good player from Washington. He would come in significantly cheaper. I would also, and this was going to be my choice, I think, is Devin Singletary. I really like him. I thought he was outstanding for Houston last year. I mean, he is only a year younger than Mixon. So a little bit of tread on his tires, but he was so good last year. And he would come in cheaper than Joe Mixon, according to PFF. So, yeah, I like him a lot. So I'm going to go for Devin Singletary at the running back. I wouldn't go anywhere near someone like J.K. Dobbins, even though age-wise he fits the profile. He's got a good explosiveness, but he's hardly played, you know. There's a chance that Charles Edwards-Helaire comes into the mix. I always liked Tony Pollard from the Cowboys, but he didn't have a great season last year. DeAndre Swift, that would be a person to look at, I think. Productive for the Eagles and in the right age range. I just think Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs and even Derrick Henry a bit too expensive. So, yeah, I would like them to take a look at Devin Singletary. Like the running back class, which is stacked, the safety class is stacked. And we keep hearing about this rumour that the Bengals are looking at a veteran safety, which I think could be a really nice move, actually. Dax and Jordan Battle, who certainly Jordan Battle showed great promise last year. Dax, obviously, you know, his struggles were well documented. I wouldn't be surprised if they signed a veteran safety. And the good news is there are loads of them. Honestly, you look at the safeties that knock around are just ridiculous. There's like, there's about 50, well, more than that, actually. There's loads. There's some really interesting characters, actually. I would love them to have a look at Xavier McKinney, but I think he's going to get big money. He's going to get Jesse Bates money, the same as Kyle Duggar, the same as Cameron Curl. Geno Stone from the Ravens might be a good shout. Played very well against the Bengals last year. Intercepted Joe Burrow. 25 years old. PFF think he's going to be around $6.5 million. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from the Lions. 5.3 perhaps. Justin Blackmon from the Colts. Again, 5.8. Around that $5-6 million mark. I think Alohi Gilman from the Chargers. He's 27. PFF predicts a $3.8 million a year wage packet for him. I also think Darnell Savage might be interesting. $5 million, 27 years old from the Packers. I've always been a fan of Jeremy Chinn, but he's the type, and I think we need a sort of a ball hawking free safety guy. Jordan Whitehead from the Jets, 27 years old, about around $6 million. So you take your pick there. I'm going to go with perhaps Darnell Savage, but I might go because we've got some young guys back there, and you want them to be the starters going, you know, moving forward. So I wouldn't be, again, I would maybe break the mold of this Bengals. I wouldn't be against hiring someone. There are just so many good veterans out there, and I'm talking around 30 plus here in terms of age, that I wouldn't be averse to signing, because you're looking for someone to provide some real leadership back there. I'm not saying go and sign Uncle Mike Thomas again. But what I am saying, could you have a look at Justin Simmons, who's just been released? Now, he's going to require huge money, so I wouldn't be surprised but if we gave him a swerve. But he's 30. How about Kevin Byard, who's 31? Celebrated across the league, Super Bowl experience, big game experience, has all the experience in the world, and he can pass on so much to guys like Dax and Jordan Battle. So I may go with Kevin Byard, or I'll go with Darnell Savage. How about that? I'm also going to go for a guy that has been mentioned before in other forums, and that is defensive tackle Tyrae Tart, former Tennessee and Houston Texans player. Every time I've seen him, he looks a handful. The Bengals tried to sign him. I just think he would slot right into that rotation and make things better immediately. I would also, by the way, re-sign DJ Reader. I think he's imperative going forward. I'd also probably draft a guy as well. Now, if DJ doesn't sign, then could you go for a stopgap? Bit of an older guy, but Daquan Jones, very good run-stopping grade. I'd go for Tyrae Tart. I think him and BJ Hill rotating would be really good, because the aim of this offseason, I think, is to get more quality depth on the interior on that line, because BJ Hill and DJ Reader have just played too many snaps over the past couple of years. You want some real quality depth to kind of freshen things up, to bring new skill sets in, and I think Tyrae Tart would be that guy. I think he'd be fantastic. Now, I would caution going with Hayden Hurst or bringing him back, just because of that horrific, those concussion injuries last year. I mean, there was something going on with amnesia and all the rest of it, and you hate to see it. He did well at the Bengals. I think he's a good player. I'd be doing some thorough medical checks, but you could get him a good price, you would imagine. I would look at Mike Gesicki from the Patriots. I've always quite liked him. I think he's a really solid all-rounder of a tight end. And PFF reckon he would command only $2 million, which would put him in that kind of bracket that the likes of Hayden Hurst and Irv Smith and CJ Uzama beforehand. Well, maybe not CJ. But certainly Hayden Hurst and Irv Smith, that kind of one-year deal. I think Mike Gesicki might be worth looking around. So those are the guys that I would quite fancy us taking a little look at. I'm sure that you've got your favourites on your lists and spreadsheets that you're looking at as well, that you want the Bengals to have a look at. So do let us know. We are on Twitter, X at @WhoDay_UK, Bengals UK on Facebook, and Bengals_UK on Instagram. So thank you for listening. I'm going to stop blathering on now. Nathan will be back for Monday night's episode, where, who knows, I think the tampering starts at midday Eastern time. And we'll be recording at around 2 or 3 o'clock Eastern, which is 7 in the UK. So we'll see. Let's hope there's a bit of action, because that's all very exciting. I think it is one of the most exciting times of the football year. I can't wait. It's absolute carnage on social media. It's like you might as well just sack off work and just stay on Twitter all day, because the rumours keep coming and going, and it's insane, but so much fun. So who will be the person that Bengals Twitter tries to persuade to come on board? I remember a couple of years ago, do you remember Kenny Godd, that wide receiver? We were all desperate for him to, I think we even managed to make a little bit of a song to we're all going on a summer holiday to that. Do you remember last year or a couple of years ago, someone spotted Lael Collins in a shopping mall in just outside the downtown area of Cincinnati, and that was someone was You know, everyone's like tuned into that. That was crazy. What's Leo Collins doing? So it's going to be very interesting to see. Actually, thank God we didn't sign Kenny Golladay. Bloody hell, he didn't turn out to be much, did he? But yeah, it's going to be fun. So do stay locked to all your favourite people on Twitter. Hopefully that's we are part of that crew. And I say Nathan will be back on Monday. It only really reminds me to say huge thanks to for her time. A remarkable, inspirational woman. Just as I say, as lovely as you thought she might be. So thank you to her for spending some time with us. And I will see you Monday. Well, I won't see you, but you'll probably hear from me on Monday. So until then, it's a Who Day from me. Good night. Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. Who Day. And it should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed within this podcast do not reflect those of the Cincinnati Bengals organization.